Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our special Share with the Five Towns for Rockley virtual base medrash. So this is really not my time slot, Thursday at 11 a.m., but because there were technical difficulties with Zoom on Sunday, my thanks to Rabbi Shai Schechter for giving me an alternative slot and allowing me to speak this morning instead of Sunday. Everything is bashared. It turns out that this is bashared also because when I realized that we couldn't have Sunday shir, we were having Thursday shir, how appropriate is that tomorrow is Chof Ches Iyar. Chof Ches Iyar is Yom Yerushalayim. So I thought that we would have a special shir. We're diverging a little from our topic of the shir in the past few weeks, which is Rabbi Akiva and lessons learned from the life of Rabbi Akiva. We will resume that topic, but Ezra Hashem on Sunday morning, when Zoom is, please God, going to work. But I thought it would be very appropriate to have a special shir in honor of Yom Yerushalayim. So that is tomorrow, Chav Ches Iyar, 6-day war, miraculous victory in 6 days. Am Yisrael, the IDF, with the Ribono Shel Olam, of course, as their guide and as their Shomer Yisrael, had an astounding victory over the Arab countries that surrounded them and won back so much of our Eretz HaKodesh. Chevron, Amar Samach Pela, Beis Lechem, Kever Rachel, the entire Gush Etzion block, the Golan Heights, the Sinai Desert, Yerushalayim. I'm going to begin with a story that is told over in the biography of Rav Avi Mitzchak Kohen Cook, Zatzal. This is a story that is told over in the biography. It's called An Angel Among Men by Simcha Raz. A Yemenite Jew whose side locks and beard were streaked with white hair came to see Rav Cook. He closed the door behind him and he just stood there with his head bent as if he were afraid to look at the rabbi. Rav Cook lifted his eyes and he looked at the man. "Come near, my son," he said in a comforting voice, trying to instill confidence in his visitor's heart. The man approached Rav Cook's desk and he remained standing. "Come near, my son. 1 second, please. I am now the co-host." Okay, 1 minute. One moment, please. Okay, very good. Baruch Hashem. I was made close and I just muted everyone. Okay, here we go. Rav Cook lifted his eyes and he looked at the man. "Come near, my son," he said in a comforting voice, trying to instill confidence in his visitor's heart. The man approached Rav Cook's desk and he remained standing there. "What is bothering you, my son?" asked Rav Cook. "Honored Rav," said the guest, "I have come to ask an important question." "Ask, my son, ask," said Rav Cook. "For 25 years now, I have been working from morning till night. I have been engaged in all types of manual labor. I have removed weeds from the fields that were destined to become orchards. I have planted trees. I have removed stones from rocky soil." I am now muted. Why am I muted? Okay, 1 second. Okay. The man comes and he comes to Rav Cook and he says, "I have to ask an important question." And Rav Cook says with great trepidation, "What is your question, my son?" And he says, "For 25 years now, I have been working the soil of Eretz Yisrael, from morning till night, engaged in manual labor. I have removed weeds from the fields that have been destined to become orchards. I have planted trees. I have removed stones from the rocky soil. I have dug holes to help build houses in Eretz Yisrael. I've invested the best of my strength in physical labor, but I barely make enough money to support my family. My question is, am I permitted to emigrate to America and try my luck there? Maybe there I will be able to support my family responsibly." After the Yemenite Jew presented his case, Rav Cook sat quietly. After a few minutes of silence, he rose from his chair. He pointed to the man and he said, "Sit down." The visitor was struck with fear and he stammered, "I am a stranger. How can I sit in Rav Cook's chair?" "Sit," said Rav Cook. Slowly, hesitantly, the man came around the table. He sat in Rav Cook's chair. He was seized by fear and trembling, and the moment he sat down, he fell asleep. A short while later, the man awoke, trembling again. "What happened?" asked Rav Cook. "I had a dream," said the man, "and in my dream I departed this world and I ascended heavenward. When I reached the gates of heaven, there was an angel standing at the entrance, and he directed me to the heavenly court. And there, before the one who dwells on high, stood the scales of justice. All of a sudden, horse-driven wagons began passing before me, loaded with packages of all sizes. Angels began unloading the packages onto the scales and placed them on one side of the scale, and the scale buckled with the weight of these packages and practically touched the ground. And I said in the court, I said to the angel, 'What are these packages?' 'These, son of man, are the sins and transgressions that you committed during your days on earth, he replied. Everything in the eternal world of truth is brought to justice. I was dismayed. I was afraid. I was shaking in fear. But then suddenly, another group of wagons began to arrive. And these second wagons were loaded with dirt and stones and rocks and sand. The angels loaded all of this dirt and stones and rock and sand on the other side of the scale. And it began to descend, almost outweighing the scales of sin. What are these bundles of dirt? I asked the angel in the heavenly court. These are the rocks and the stones that your own hands toiled to remove from the soil of the Holy Land. They will stand by you. These rocks, these stones, this dirt, this sand will plead on your behalf in the heavenly court. An account of your share in building the land of Israel. Trembling, I stood and I watched the scales, and behold, the scales of merit got heavier and heavier, slowly but surely descending. And simultaneously, the scale of guilt was elevated. And just then, the scale stopped moving. And the scale of merit, the dirt, the rocks, the stones, the sand, ki ratzu avatacha, es avanaha, v'esafar yichaninu, atatakum terachim tzian ke'esachanin akiva moed. And the stones and the rocks and the dirt and the sand of Eretz Yisrael outweighed my merits, and I was saved from judgment. You see, said my son, said Rav Kook to the man, you received your answer from your question, from the heavens. And Rav Kook added no more. To Yom Yerushalayim, not Yom Ha'atzmut, and we particularly celebrate the reunification of our holy city, on the holy places that have been conquered, if we've ever been to Chetadavin, I'm sure all of us, or hopefully all of us, at the Maros HaMachpelah, Kever Rechel, to visit Gush Etzion and see the flourishing Yishuv, stand on the Golan Heights. We recognize that these lands were returned to us by Yad Hashem in 1967. It is called Yom Yerushalayim after the reunification of our holy city. The shofar was blown at the wall that day. Even secular soldiers, according to all accounts, were crying. Why is the city named Yerushalayim, which is what I want to speak about today? Why do we call our holy city Yerushalayim? When was it named? Why was it given this name? What does the name mean? What can we learn from the name Yerushalayim? To answer this question, we need to look at two different passages in the book of Bereishis. So before we come to the Medrash, we will look in the book of Bereishis. So we begin in Perek Yud Dalet in Bereishis in chapter 14, which is a fascinating chapter. The first, what I call the first world war. There was a world war between the four kings and the five kings. Avram, of course, becomes involved in war. Why does Avram become involved in war? Because the fugitive comes and he tells Avram, Ki nishba achiv, his nephew has been captured, Vayerka chasanicha bilide beso, and he quickly gathers his soldiers, according to the Medrash Eliezer, and they run after, they go to war. Hey, that's not for purposes of today's shiur, even though a few years ago I gave a very in-depth shiur on understanding the war of the four kings and the five kings, but for the purposes of today's shiur, after the war. Parak Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Ches in the book of Bereishis, chapter 14, verse 18. Umalki Tzedek Malech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, Malki, my king, Tzedek, a righteous king, Malech Shalem, the king of Shalem, Holtzi Lechem V'yayin, this is after the war. So now we're having a meal of celebration. He brought out bread and wine. V'hu Kohen Lekel Oyon, he was a priest to the God Most High. V'yivarchehu V'yomer, he blessed him and he said, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon, Kono Shemayim V'aretz, blessed is Abraham, to the God Most High, the one who acquires heaven and earth, and blessed is God, who is your shield, and put your enemies in your hand. So after the war, Malki Tzedek, who we know, according to tradition, the sages tell us, is also Shem. Another name for Shem is in Shem, Ham, and Yafis, the sons of Noach. Another name for Shem is Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek is a righteous person. He is the king of a place called Shalem, Shin Lamid Mem. After the war, he goes out to greet Avram with bread and wine. So keep this pasuk in mind. That's pasuk Yudalid, Perek Yud Ches in the book of Bereishis, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Holtzi Lechem V'yayin. He gives Abraham a blessing and he blesses God and everyone's very happy. Good. Now we move to, keeping that in mind, Perek Chof Beis in the book of Bereishis, which is the Perek of the Akedas Yitzchak. Also, not for purposes of today's shiur, lots to talk about, but I'm just going to give you a brief recap of the Psukim in Perek Chof Beis, beginning with Pasuk Aleph. And it was after these things, and God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Avram, and Avram said, Hineni, here I am, According to many of the Mefarshim, this is the 10th and final test of Avram Avinu. We just read Perkei Avos, Perkei last week. Basar Nisyonus Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav Hashem V'amad B'kulam L'odiyah Kamechibaso Shel Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests to tell you how beloved he was. So there are different ways of counting the 10 tests. The Bar Tanura has his count, and the Rambam has his count, and Rabbeinu Yonah has his count. But according to many Mefarshim, Bar Tanura holds that the 10th test was the Akedah. Some actually hold that Perachav Gimel, Kavura Sarah was the 10th test, not Misa Sarah. She was 127 and she passed on to her eternal rest. But the fact that after she dies, he has nowhere to bury her in a land that he was promised, according to some, the 10th test is Kavura Sarah. According to others, the 10th test is Akedas Yitzchak. But God calls out to him, he tests him, and he says, Abraham, here I am. Kachnes bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak v'lechecha l'eretz ha-Moriah. Take your son, your only one, the one you love, take Yitzchak. Go to the land of Moriah, to one of the mountains that I will show you. And what should you do on that mountain? V'aleu sham la'ola. You should bring your son as an ola. A ola is a korban that is entirely burnt to God. On the spectrum of karbanos, you have different degrees of burning the animal and people consuming the animal. And you could say that the two bookends of the spectrum, so to speak, are the ola and the karban pesach. The ola offering is entirely for Hashem. The karban pesach is entirely for the baal karban. And Avram was told, take your son and shecht him as an ola, totally an offering for God. And Avram woke up early in the morning and he saddles his donkey and he takes his two lads with him and he takes Yitzchak and he splits wood for the sacrifice and he walks to the place that God told him. And it was on the third day and he lifts his eyes and he sees the place from afar. Of course, he is going to Mount Moriah. And Avram says to his lads, Eliezer and Yishmael, stay here with the donkey of salvation, because such a beautiful peace. Me and the lad will go on yonder. We will prostrate. We will come back to you. Avram took the trees and he put on Yitzchak his son and he takes the fire and he takes the knife and the two of them go together. And Yitzchak says to his father, what are we sacrificing? We have the knife, we have the wood, we have fire. What are we shachting over here? He says, God will show us the sacrifice. They come to the place. He binds his son. He's about to shacht his son. Avram, Avram. And an angel of mercy, this is the first time you have Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, appear in this narrative. An angel of mercy calls out, Abram, Abram, and he says, Hineni, here I am. Al tishtach yadcha el hanar, do not send forth your hand to the sun. Val taslo mu'uma, don't do anything, don't even make a scratch. Ki ata yadati ki yare elokim ata, I know you are God-fearing, you do not withhold your son from me. Avram lifts his eyes and he sees the ram. Okay, we have the shofar, he shechts the animal instead of his son. Perchof beis pasuk yud dalet. Vayikra Avram shem hamakom hahu. Abram called the name of this place Hashem Yireh. Hashem Yireh. Asher ye amar hayom, as it is said this day, Bahar Hashem Yireh. On the mountain, Hashem will be seen. Right. So Avram is atop Mount Moriah, Har HaMoriah, the holiest place in the world. And he's about to shecht his son, and he doesn't shecht his son. And when he is stopped from shechting his son, he calls the place Hashem Yireh. Because it will be said on this day, on the mountain, Hashem will be seen. Okay. Keep in mind, Malki Tzedek was the king of Shalem. And Avram named the place where he almost shechted his son, Hashem Yireh. So now we go to a Medrash. And I am Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Okay, 56:10. Vayikra Avram Shem Hamakom Hahu Hashem Yireh. Avram called the place Hashem Yireh. On the mountain of Hashem, he will be seen. In other words, on this mountain, God will be seen. So, first the Medrash tells us a very beautiful anecdote that perhaps is not so related to today's shir, which is the name of Yerushalayim, or the naming of Yerushalayim, but it's worth telling over. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lofanav, Rabbi Yochanan said, Avram said before God, Ribon Ha'olam, Master of the world, B'shasha Amar Tali Kachnas Binches Yechidcha Hayali Mal Hashiv. You told me, take your son, shecht your son, offer him as an ola. You know, I had a good argument with you, God. I had Mal Hashiv. I had a defense. Etmo Amartali, yesterday you told me Kibi Yitzchak Yikar Yechazara, you told me send away Yishmael, listen to your wife, he will not inherit through your seed of Yitzchak, Am Yisrael will be built. So yesterday you told me Yitzchak's the one, today you tell me shecht your son. God, Achshav kachnas bincha? Which is it? It can't be both. Yitzchak's not married yet. He doesn't have progeny yet. So what are you telling me? Either the offspring will be through Yitzchak, or I'm going to shach my son. Yesterday, not literally yesterday, you told me ki bi Yitzchak kakar lechazara. And today you tell me kachnas bincha zichir chasher hafta aleil sham la'ola achar asher meraka. Which one is it? The Yitzchak Am Yisrael will build or I should shach Yitzchak. Hayar li mala hashiv. And as a Jew, don't you feel that way sometimes? Life is so full of contradictions. I'm going to feel like a bon shalom. I don't know what you want from me. This way, that way. Daven with me, don't daven with me. Go out, don't go. Bikuchom, don't do bikuchom. Hachnas is kal, don't do hachnas kal. What are you supposed to do? I don't understand. It's so confusing, Hashem. Hayali mala hashiva. I could have asked you a good kasha. Vechas v'shalom. Lo asisi came. I didn't do this. As Rav Salvechik, had Avram Avinu asked questions, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Uma Yisraelis. Faith means not only to believe, says the Rav, but not to ask. And here you see that in this Medrash. Avram says, Ahayali Malashiv, I could have asked the question. Chas v'sholam lo asisi came. I did not do so. Elo kavashti rachamai la'asosu tzonecha. I conquered my mercy towards my son. I conquered the love of my son to do your will, God. And therefore, Avram says, Yihi ratzon b'fanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, he utters a tefillah, he offers a prayer, may it be your will, Hashem. At the time when Yitzchak's children will come to do aveiros and bad deeds, and they will sin when we will stray from the path, when we'll get in trouble. Please remember this Akedah. Remember that I, your father, was kovish mei rachmim to do your will. So you, Hashem, please pay me back, conquer your will, which might be to punish my children in order to do my will. Have mercy on my children. And the schos and the schar of me not asking any questions because your command, Hashem, didn't really make so much sense. Yesterday you told me, Shach, he'll be my the father of Am Yisrael, Yitzchak. And now you're telling me I should check him, but I didn't say anything. You told me, God, I said, Hineni. So in the future, when my sons sin, please have mercy on them. Remember that I conquered my will to do your will. So you, Hashem, kaviyachol, conquer your will to do my will. Midash adam modin modudin lo. But now we come to the naming of Yerushalayim. Okay? Ayik Avram Shem HaMakom Hahu Hashem Yireh. Avram called the place Hashem Yireh because it will be set on this day on the mountain where God will be seen. So, what should we call the city? If you remember, we began in Perek Yudalah, which is the first world war. Malki Tzedek Malach Shalem Hotzi Lechem V'yayin V'hu Kohen Lekel Elyon. Malki Tzedek, thinking of Shalem. Avram calls the place after the Akedah Hashem Yireh. So Hashem, so to speak, has a problem. What should he call this holy place? What should he call this city? So the Medrash says, Avram kara oso Yireh. Avram called the place Yireh. So Ne'emar, as the Pasuk says in Perichov Beis Bereishis, Vayikra Avram shem ha'makom ha'hu Hashem Yireh. Avram called the name of this place Hashem Yireh. That's very nice. But I have another tzaddik, says Hashem, who called us something else. Shem kara oso shalem. Shem called the city shalem. Shin lamed men. Shen ne'amar, as it says, umalki tzedek malech shalem. We already quote this pasuk 14:18. Hotzi lechem v'yayin who kohen the kelayon. He came out as a king of shalem to greet Abram after his victory, and he brings him bread and wine, and they have a whole celebration. Amar hakolish baruch hu. So the Almighty said, what should I call my holy city? Im kore ani oso yir'er. If I call it yir'er, yud resh aleph hey, he will be seen. Kashem shakara oso Avram, like Avram called it. Hashem, Avram is the beloved. Avram ohavi. Avram is the one who discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam on his own, either according to 3 or according to 40. The Rambam writes a whole beautiful biography in the beginning of Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim about how Avram came from a family of idol worshippers. His father worshipped idols, says the Rambam. His mother worshipped idols, and the Rambam writes that Avram worshipped idols along with them. But his mind was always wondering, how is it possible that this whole galgal, this whole spinning globe goes by itself and there's no one in control? So he came to the awareness and the realization that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and Avram brought the realization of God back to the world. So Hashem has a problem, Kavyacha. He's stuck. There's a kasha. Im korei ani oso yireh, kashem shekara oso Avram. If I call the city yireh, yod resh alafei, like Abram called it, that's very nice, but shame, adam tzaddik. Shame is a tzaddik, misraim. Shame is going to feel very bad. He's going to have grounds for complaint. He's going to lodge a complaint against me. God, I'm also a tzaddik. And I called the city Shalem. Why are you choosing Aram over me? V'im korei ani oso Shalem. And Hashem continued, and he said, and if I call the city Shalem, Avram Adam Tzaddik. Avram is a tzaddik. Mishraim, he's going to feel bad. He's going to have a taina against me. Which I do. One tzaddik calls it Shalem. The other tzaddik calls it Hashem Yira'eh. And I don't know what to do, so to speak, says Hashem. Now, of course, Hashem could do it every once, and Hashem, Chas V'Shalem, does not have quandaries or problems. He wants to teach us. Rav Soloveitchik says, what represents the most intimate aspect of the relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael is not that Hashem is the Kel, the Gadol, the Gibor, Venora. That is God's relationship with the whole world, says the Rav. What represents God's unique relationship with Knesset Yisrael is that he is the Malami Torah La'amo Yisrael. We're coming up to Shavuos, Man Matom Torah Seinu. He is the Malami Torah La'amo Yisrael. That represents his unique relationship with us. God is the Kel, the Gadol, the Gibor, Venera, the mighty, the awesome, the God. That's how he runs the whole world. For the Umos Olam also. But Malame Torah La'am Yisrael, that's for us. So Hashem wants to teach us a lesson in the naming of Yerushalayim. Hashem could have just called Yerushalayim, and we don't need the Medrash, and no one needs to tell me Hashem is stuck in a quandary. Hashem's not really stuck in a quandary. Anyway, it's coming to teach us something. What's it coming to teach us? Compromise. Peace. Work things out between two parties. Hear this side. Hear that side. There's validity both. Let's work it out in a peaceful fashion. I can't go only with what Avram said, because Malki Tzedek's going to be upset and he's going to lodge a complaint and he's a tzaddik. And I can't go only with what Malki Tzedek slash Shame said, because Avram's a tzaddik. So what did Hashem say? Ella harini koro oso Yerushalayim. Kilmoshe karohu shnehem. I will make a compromise, said the Ribbono Shel Olam, between these two tzaddikim, between these two biblical personalities, between these two giants. Kimosha karohu shnehem. Yir'eh, I will take part of Yir'eh. Shalem, I will take part of Shalem. And we will call the city Yerushalayim. And every time we mention the name Yerushalayim, and every time we daven Yerushalayim Ircha Barachim Tashu V'siskam B'socha Kasher Dibarta, maybe Hashem is saying, I'm ready to return to Yerushalayim, but you people can't figure out how to get along. And this one wants this one, and this one that one, and everybody, it's his way or the highway. And maybe if we could learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Malami Torah La'amo Yisrael, how to be B'Shalom. Doesn't mean we have to condone behavior that is anti-Torah. Doesn't mean, Chas V'Shalom, someone's Mechal al Shabbos, that's appropriate behavior, but there is a way to work between parties. I'm reading the book now, Like Dreamers, by Yossi Klein Halevi. Very eye-opening, very, very interesting. But after they pulled out from Sinai after the 1973 terrible Yom Kippur War, the troops remained in Sinai for many months after the war. There were random shellings, random shootings. And one of the soldiers wrote a goodbye sign, if you will, on the side of a dusty jeep. The end of the war with Egypt, back to the war of the Jews. How sad. What does Yerushalayim mean? Yerushalayim means Hashem will see peace. He took both names, Yir'eh Shalom. God said, let me see, do I see peace here? Peace here? Hashem made peace, so to speak, between Avram's desire for Hashem Yireh and Malki Tzedek slash Hashem's desire for Shalem. And Hashem said, can we work together? And how ironic that we talk about the reunification of Yerushalayim. The city was reunited. But is Am Yisrael really reunited? We're coming up to Zman Matan Toraseinu. Ayichan Sham Yisrael Neged HaHark. You all know this off by heart. Everyone knows this off by heart. Rashi Tishmos Yod Tes Beis Kish Echad Belev Echad. Hashem didn't need to tell us this story. Hashem didn't need to do this. He could have called Yerushalayim. It would have been called Yerushalayim. Hashem wants us to know why it's called Yerushalayim. It's called Yerushalayim because when you have two parties with two different opinions, and they're both Torahic opinions, respect them both, hear them both. Sure, it has to be worked out according to Halacha, but is there a way to compromise with peace? The whole name of the city is Yerush Shalom. Hashem said, let me see if there is peace here. So geographically, the city was reunited. But is Am Yisrael united? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. Continues the Medrash, Rabbi Brecha b'shem Rabbi Chalba Amar. Ad shehu shalem, asalo kosh baruchu suka, v'haya mispalal b'socha. Hashem is sitting until the city is complete. Ad shehu shalem, until the city is complete. You know what Hashem is doing? Asalo kosh baruchu suka. Hashem made for himself a suka, a sukkah, a hut, a booth. V'haya mispalo b'socha, and he's davening in that sukkah. Hashem, so to speak, is davening. I'm go look this up. Medrash Bereishis Rabba, 56:10, Nun Vav Yud. Ad shehu shalem asher l'kosh baruch hu sukkah, v'haya mispalo b'socha. Shenemer v'yihi b'shalem sukko u'me'onoso b'tzion, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, in shalem was his sukkah, and his dwelling place in Zion. And what is Hashem davening? Umahaya Omer, what is the tefillah that Hashem is davening in this sukkah? Yihi ratzon she'era bevinyan beisi. You know what Hashem is saying? Yihi ratzon she'era bevinyan beisi. May it be your will, God, Hashem is saying to himself, that I should be zocha to see, Hashem said, the rebuilding of my house. And sometimes you look at the world, maybe not you, me, you think to yourself, I'm just one person. Can one person really make a difference? Lo alacha hamnachali gmar. Lo ata ben chorin li, but tell me, Benim. I can only do my part to bring shalom, your es shalem, to let Hashem see shalom. So he's davening in that sukkah on top of Har Tzion. And Hashem is saying, wow, he ratzon she'era b'vinyan b'si. Let me see the rebuilding of my house. But b'midash adam modeh modedi lo. He's waiting to see the peace in the city. The peace amongst his brothers. They pulled out of the Sinai and they rode on the side of their truck. Over with the war with Egypt, back to the war with the Jews. The whole name of Yerushalayim represents compromise. Hashem did not need to do this. Hashem doesn't need to do anything. But says the Rav, he is the Malamei Torah La'amo Yisrael. And of course, we have a principle, Mahu af ata. Mahu rachum v'chanon af ata. Shabbos kufa megad mil beis. I see the time, but we just started a little bit late till I was able to mute and make the host, so I just need the last 2 to 3 minutes, please. Interesting. Why does Yireh come before Shalim? Okay, in the name of Yerushalayim. So I'm actually quoting from a piece by Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita and a sefer called Days of Awe, Days of Joy. So Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita asked this question, why does Yireh come before Shalem? Hashem could have called it Shalem Yireh, Shalem Yiru. We wouldn't have thought it was weird. That's what the city would be called. Why is Yireh before Shalem? So Rav Willig brings two answers, and then I'm going to add a little bit of a third answer. Okay? The Meshach Chachma explains, shame, so it's very beautiful, listen. The Meshach Chachma, Rav Willa quotes, the Meshach Chachma explains, shame, remember we already said he was a son of Noach, saw that theft filled the world. We know that Gezel, lo nechtem gzar dinam el al hagazel, the sins of the Dor HaMambo that sealed their fate was theft. Shame saw that theft filled the world, and that's what led to its destruction. He devoted himself to improving interpersonal behavior, which makes sense. He comes out to greet Avram with bread and wine, interpersonal behavior. Therefore, he called his capital Shalem, to emphasize Shlemus, character perfection, and Shalom, peace. So Shem, who lived at the time of Dor HaMabul, who saw that Gezel was lo nechtam gzar dinam el al ha-Gezel, people did not respect each other, there was not peace, there was not completion, he called the city Shalem to emphasize the importance of Shlemus in society, wholeness, completion, peace in society. Avram, on the other hand, fought to teach mankind that Hashem is the master of the world. We already quoted the Rambam from the beginning of the Kochavim. Avram saw that the world forgot about God. The world was totally not spiritual. It was a time where everybody was Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So Avram wanted to emphasize the fact that there is a Hashem in this world. Hashem Yireh. You should see Hashem. Hashem will see you. There's a God. So he called the city Hashem Yireh, to emphasize the spiritual aspect of there is a Ribono Shel Olam running the show. There's a captain of the ship. There's a master of the world. There's a conductor of the world symphony. We're not alone here. It's beautiful, psha. Rav Willig is calling the Mashiach Chachma. Tremendous. Shame saw theft and lack of peace between people. So he called the city Shalem. Armavinu saw that people forgot the Ribono Shel Olam. They were Ovdei Kochavim. So he called it Hashem Yireh. These two aspects of Yerushalayim, says Rav Willig, when we recognize Hashem, Hashem Yireh, and when we achieve peace, will ultimately lead to the redemption of Yerushalayim. He offers one more reason, quoting the Yafei To'ar. Why does Yireh precede Shalem? Chronologically, Shem preceded Avram. So Shalem should precede Yireh, especially because Avram was, so he answers the Yafei To'ar, Avram was a greater tzaddik, and therefore Hashem gave precedence to his name over Malki Tzaddik's name. Alternatively, Yireh precedes Shalem conceptually. Writes Rabbi Willig, first, we must establish our faith in Hashem, our adherence to Torah's religious principles, Hashem Yireh. Then we develop appropriate interpersonal relationships based on the Torah. So in other words, to develop appropriate interpersonal relationships, you must see God. Because if you leave everything up to your own wisdom, there's no wisdom. Based on the wisdom of Torah, Hashem Yireh, you can come to have shalom with everybody else. And according to this reason, that is why Hashem Yireh, Yeru, comes before Shalem. I just want to add one more nakuda that I thought of, perhaps. In life, we are always choosing between Ruchnius and Gashmius. And I think the two aspects of the name of Yerushalayim represent this struggle. Malki Tzedek, Malach Shalem, Hotzi Lechem V'yayin. Avram called the city Hashem Yireh. One represents the Gashmius side of life, Lechem V'yayin. One represents the Ruchnius aspect of life, seeing God and being seen by God. Of course, as a Jew, as a human being, as an Eved Hashem, we need both aspects. We use Gashmius because without it we can't survive. We need Lachem Ve'yayin. We need clothing, we need a home. We need table, chairs, we need food, we need fruit, we need air to breathe. We need to feed our bodies. But don't forget about your neshama. If a person does not feed their neshama first, all of that Gashmius serves no purpose. So, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem Hotzi Lechem V'yayin represents the Gashmistic aspect of life in the Lechem V'yayin. However, Avram called the name of the place Hashem Yireh, which represents the Ruchniistic aspect in life. And a Jew has to know, everything he does has to be channeled through the lens of Ruchniist. So what do we put first in the name Yerushalayim? Hashem Yireh. Always make sure your eye is on God, because God's eye is always on you. And when everything you do in life is seen through the lens of Ruchnius, Hashem Yireh, even the Gashmius, the Lechem V'yayin, will be used for Lechem Mishnah and Leil Kiddush on Shabbos. So we put Yerushalayim Yireh first to teach ourselves that our primary goal in life is the acquisition, the cultivation, the internalization of Ruchnius in life, Hashem Yireh. And then even the Gashmius, the Shalem, will be used to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Halavai, we should be zocha to see the ultimate reunification. Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, our holy city and our holy people. Like Hashem said, if only I could see the rebuilding of my home. I wish you a meaningful Yom Yerushalayim. I thank you for your time. I thank Rav Schechter for giving me this extra time slot. I hope everyone learned something new. Besuras Tovos. And what do you say? Chag Yom Yerushalayim Sameach. I'm not sure. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos. Thank you.